Get ready to be inspired. This is Miles of Impact.
Welcome back to Miles of Impact, the podcast where we highlight the incredible programs and outdoor experiences that help youth grow, learn, and create lifelong memories. I'm your host, Jeremy, and today we're diving into Camp Bartlett, a local youth camp offering 3-day and 4-day sessions packed with fun, skill building, and the beauty of the great outdoors. Camp Bartlett is known for its incredible location next to the Cache National Forest, right outside of Montpelier, Idaho. Its top-tier programs and its outstanding staff who make every camp session unforgettable. Whether your group is looking for boating, climbing, hiking, shooting sports, or campfire traditions, Bartlett has something for everyone. To give us a behind-the-scenes look at what makes Camp Bartlett so special, I'm joined by the camp director, Tanner, and the program director, Sam. They're going to share some details about the camp's exciting activity stations, the daily schedule, meal options, and tips on what to bring and what not to bring. So if you're a leader, parent, or youth getting ready for Camp Bartlett, this episode is for you. Let's dive in. Tanner and Sam, good to be with you tonight.
Good to be here.
Thank you, Jeremy. It is good to be with you too.
So Tanner, let's start with you. Give us a brief introduction about yourself and tell me why you like running Camp Bartlett and working with the youth.
Yeah, so again, my name is Tanner and I'm the camp director at Camp Bartlett. And Camp Bartlett has a piece of my heart. This will be my 8th summer at Camp Bartlett and I absolutely love it. I'm a little biased, but I know it's a pretty dang good camp. And I love being at Camp Bartlett during the summers and working with the youth to be able to see new experiences, see the youth have new experiences, and to be able to be alongside with them while they have so much fun at camp.
Excellent. Sam, tell us a little bit more about yourself.
My name is Sam, and I just also really love Camp Bartlett. It'll be my 6th year working up here at camp, and I went there as a scout a couple times for the regular scout program and also the high adventure program, and I just had a blast. So I decided to start working there. The camp experience and programs have always been one of my favorite parts. You get to do all the skits, and it's just how you have all the fun at camp. It's all the programs and activities that we do at camp, all the things that you don't really get anywhere else. And so I love to see the scouts and the youth, in this case, learning and growing while they're here at camp and just having a fun time.
Sam and I both worked in high school together at Camp Bartlett. And so it's been very fun to be connected again, to work with him as an adult, and to be able to have him as my right-hand man up at camp. It's been really fun and I'm glad to have him.
That is fun to hear. Sam, are you blushing?
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's get into some of the nitty gritty about Camp Bartlett. I'm sure the folks that are listening to this episode are wondering where Camp Bartlett is located and perhaps what makes this area so special. Tanner, can you go ahead and tell us where camp is located?
Yeah. So Camp Bartlett is located, like Jeremy said, right next to the Cache National Forest. It's about 20 minutes west of Montpelier, Idaho. So it's in Bear Lake County, Idaho. And it is just a beautiful area. We have 640 acres of pristine wilderness. We have 2 lakes on the property and just endless outdoor adventure opportunities. We are very lucky to be at the area that we have, and it's just out of the way, out of the main kind of hustle and bustle of civilization. But it's also, when you're in camp, there's nothing around you and it's great. You can be able to not get lost, but get lost in the wilderness and be able to have fun in the outdoors and not have to worry about really what's going on in the cities at the time.
That is something unique about Bartlett's. I mean, we're only, 20 minutes away from Montpelier, so the closest town, but yet when you're at camp, you're truly in the woods. Now, Tanner, if a group leader is looking for Camp Bartlett on Google Maps or Apple Maps for driving directions to camp, is Bartlett in those programs for them to pre-program and just drive?
Yes, they are. As far as I know that I use Google Maps, but my wife uses Apple Maps, they're able to be pulled up just by looking up Camp Bartlett. It will say Southeastern Idaho, or even may say Ovid, which is a small town near Montpelier. But Montpelier is also like the closest town where you're going to have any stores, any gas stations, anything like that. If you are coming from the south of Camp Bartlett, out of Utah or Cache Valley areas, the best way is most likely just going to follow the main highway and go up through Preston and over Immigration Canyon. And there's also, like I said, we are in Bear Lake Valley. And so you can go through the Logan Canyon and follow Bear Lake all the way up if you're looking for that kind of drive as well. Beautiful drives, but do expect canyons and sometimes going through possibly 45 minutes to an hour without stops due to those canyons, longer drive times and so on. But from Ogden, where I'm from, Ogden, Utah, it's about a two-hour drive. And so kind of base that expectation on wherever you're coming from. Also plan in any pit stops that may need to be done while you're driving. And then once you get off of the highway, there's signs on either side of the road that say Camp Bartlett pointing you to the turnoff. There is a four-mile dirt road that you should expect as well. And then there's signs that will show you where to get into camp, but a lot of people are surprised by that little bit of dirt road that you do have to get into camp with. So expect that on your way in.
Now, when you say dirt road, Tanner, let's clarify, if someone is not in a truck, they're in a car or a sedan, maybe a utility vehicle, are they going to be able to get up to camp without any problems?
Yeah, great question. For the most part, yes, we've had very little problems getting into camp on that dirt road. It is graded here and there to make sure that vehicles can get in. And heck, we have a semi-truck come in to deliver our food twice a week. So if you are worried about that, I trust the road.
Now, Sam, go ahead and describe to us some details about the sessions that Camp Bartlett offers. We've boasted the three-day and the four-day sessions. So tell us about that and a little bit about the check-in process once people get to camp.
All right. So the three-day and four-day sessions, the three-day session is from Monday and Wednesday. You'll have about five rotations of different activities that we'll get into later. Four-day session has a little bit extra time, a couple extra rotations, and that's from Wednesday afternoon to Saturday morning. For the three-day session, on Monday morning, we would like you to check in by 9:30 a.m., and we'll get started shortly after that. For the four-day session, you'll check in on Wednesday afternoon. You can come anywhere from 1 to 4, but after 4 is when we want to start the first rotation, so please be there before 4.
What are some of the items that group leaders need to bring with them as part of that check-in process?
We definitely need the Scouting America Health Form, Parts A and B, for everyone. That's youth and adults. They need their health forms so that if anything goes wrong, we can have their health history, their medical history available, just in case of emergencies. We would also like you to bring a group roster, also for emergencies, so you know who you have and we can easily account for everyone in the event of an emergency. And in the event that you haven't finished paying your camp dues, please bring your final payments.
Now, Tanner, let's hold on for 1 second and talk more about the health form. One of the most common questions that we get at the office is whether the participants need an actual doctor's physical. Can you explain what parts A and B are?
Yeah, so for Scouting America, we have the health forms. I mean, the whole thing is parts A, B, and C. But really, at Camp Bartlett and with the program that we run, we only need parts A and B. And what parts A and B are is a brief medical history and talking about any concerns of the participant. So if there's any allergies that we have to be aware of, and if they carry an EpiPen or different cases like that. So we don't have to worry about needing a physical doctor's signature. We just need that A and B filled out to the best of your knowledge. So that way, in, like Sam said, any type of emergency, or really in case that we need it quickly, we can know that information and we can have that on hand.
Any last minute tips for the group leaders?
Really, to just make sure that you're arriving on time. Like Sam said, on Monday morning, if you're coming in for the 3-day session, to arrive in the morning so you have plenty of time to check in and get camp set up. And the same thing for the 4-day session on Wednesday. Please arrive after 1 o'clock, but we really want to make sure that you arrive as soon as you can. So that way you can get camp set up. If you need to do swim checks, you can. And then if you have already done swim checks before, make sure to bring those forms with you to check in. So that way we can have those ready and good to go. And really just making sure that you have enough time to set up your camp, make sure everything is good to go. And also double checking beforehand that your youth have the proper gear and making sure they have water bottles to bring for they can keep filling up to stay hydrated and that they're ready to have fun. I want that to be kind of known that they're going to have fun. And we hope that you can help us as leaders, make sure that your youth are ready for that and that they're excited for that as well.
All right, Tanner, between you and Sam, I bet our leaders are feeling comfortable and ready for check-in. Now, Sam, let's get into the fun stuff. Can you describe some of the activity stations that Camp Bartlett offers?
Absolutely. So we have several, we have lots of different activities at Camp Bartlett. Among the most prominent is our lake. We have Lake Fife, our own personal little lake, in which we do swimming and we do boating as well. And boating, we have canoes, we have paddle boards, and we have kayaks. It's just a fun place to get in the water, get on the water, and have a fun time. Up the road a little bit, we'll have our climbing wall with some slack lines nearby. Climbing wall is 45 feet tall, and it's an auto belay system, so we don't need to worry too much about belaying people. Just climb up and come back down whenever you want. Next, up the trail a little bit, we'll have our rifle range, where you can shoot 22 rifles, and our archery range, where you can shoot bows and arrows. And our next activity is hiking. And for the hiking, we have lots of famous hikes, which includes Old Ephraim's Tree, where you can learn the legend of the largest grizzly bear in North America. We have the Georgetown Overlook.
Let's stop right there, Sam. What is Old Ephraim's connection to Camp Bartlett?
So Old Ephraim, he was a really big grizzly bear, the largest grizzly bear, and he had a huge territory, and part of his territory is Camp Bartlett. There is a certain tree, Old Ephraim's Tree, that he scratched, he put some claw marks in. I don't remember the exact height, but it was really high up. Tanner, do you remember the height?
Yeah, it was about, so Old Ephraim himself, when he stood on his hind legs, was about 10 feet tall, making him one of the largest grizzly bears that ever roamed this area. And then so when he had scratched the tree to mark his territory, his claw marks would be about 13 to 14 feet up in the tree, which just is astounding as you look up to it.
And so, Sam, it's my understanding that the participants get to go visit this tree and hear the legend of Old Ephraim.
Yeah, we can definitely tell the story of Old Ephraim at camp. The tree itself has fallen some years ago, but it is still there and is still impressive to look at.
That's pretty cool. So tell us more about the other hikes that are available.
So one of the other hikes we have is the Georgetown Overlook, and it goes up a trail by the rifle and the archery ranges, and it brings you to a scenic overlook over the valley. It's a nice place to go and get a good view. Another place, if you don't mind a longer hike, is Hope Rock, and I don't remember exactly how long it is, but it's, Tanner, do you remember?
It is about a three and a half mile round trip.
So it's a 3 to 3.5 mile round trip, and it brings you up this big hill at the end, which we call Cardiac Hill because it's pretty steep. But after you get to the top, it has some really good views as well.
Sam, you've told us a lot about these activity stations. You're the program director, so you oversee them all. Do you have a favorite?
That's a really good question. I really like pretty much all of them. I've worked on the climbing wall. I've worked on swimming. I've been trained in archery, and I've enjoyed shooting, and I like going on hikes. I really like all of them. They all have their moments. They all test you in different ways and help you grow in different ways as well.
Sounds like there's lots of opportunities to experience. Now, if someone's looking to stay around camp with their group, do we offer group games as well?
Yeah, we do. So in our main field, our grizzly field, where we have our flagpole, and a lot of things will be started from there. But we do have many games set up, for example, at CrossNet, and we have a frisbee golf course that's set up around the field and around the main part of camp. And we also have the infamous Gaga Ball that is very famous at a lot of our camps. And even I've seen now at some schoolyards, it's a very big game that is very popular. It's very similar to dodgeball. There's a little ring that you step into, and we're happy to, with any of our games, help teach any of the rules and make sure that everyone that's playing is having a fun and safe time.
Lots of areas to have lots of fun. Now, if a group is looking to have an experience with their group on one of the evenings, maybe a devotional or a fireside, does Bartlett offer any areas that that group can reserve for a particular time to use?
Yeah, they do. So great question. We have three areas that we can reserve. The first one is our small pavilion. where we have a covered shelter that you can have some tables that if you want to work on any kind of crafts or you need table area, that is something that is you're more than welcome to reserve. And we'll talk about reservations and how that works in just a little bit as well. And then we have our two amphitheaters in camp. We have our Lake Town Amphitheater Fireball, and then we have our Rendezvous Fireball that's on the other side of camp. We will hold a campfire program on your first night of the session at the Lake Town Fireball, so you'll be able to see that. And like I said, they are amphitheater styles where there's the stage in front and amphitheater type seating around, and they are great for devotionals, and they are great for the type that they're built, the type that it's built, like I said, with the amphitheater, that you don't necessarily have to, as long as you're projecting your voice and you're not turned around or being very quiet, it is very easy for everyone to hear you. And that's the nice part about having big groups, or whether it's a ward or stake level, and that you can fit a lot of people in there as well. Whether you're only filling the first two rows or you're filling the entire amphitheater, that as long as they're quiet and a good audience, that whoever is presenting should be able to speak loud without any speakers or anything like that. And then the same thing with our Rendezvous Bowl. It's on the other side of camp, like I said, and it has a beautiful overlook of camp, so you can see the lake. You can see a lot of the campsites. Both beautiful areas. The Lake Town Bowl is more surrounded by trees, and the Rendezvous Bowl is more open to the camp. And they're both great locations for devotionals and gatherings.
Now, Tanner, can you spend a couple minutes and describe to us how groups are going to rotate through these activity stations?
Yeah. So in the mornings, we will start with a flag ceremony. And at this flag ceremony, we'll talk about the day and what kind of the schedule is. Everyone's schedule is going to be a little bit different. At check-in, like we were talking about earlier, you will receive a schedule with what rotations you'll be going to for each rotation. So what areas you're going to for each rotation is what I should say. And so, for example, the first group is you're going to start with rifle, and then you're going to go up to archery for the next rotation. And the second group, you're maybe going to start with boating and then go over to climbing or so on. We'll have that all set up for you, so you don't have to worry about reserving times for any of the program areas. We'll already have that set up for you and what areas you'll be rotating to first. And also at that flag ceremony, we are going to have any announcements that may be pertain to the day and what activity other than rotations that we'll have and any other information that we feel necessary for our campers at the time.
I think that answers all the questions. Now, Sam, do you have a favorite moment you'd like to share that you've experienced up at Camp Bartlett?
I just really love during our campfire program, the first night they all be there, we have a campfire program. And I really love that campfire program, but especially at the end where we do a flag retirement, it's always a really reverent time that gets you thinking about our country and all the things that are available to us because of the people who have come before. And it's a really unique experience for a lot of the youth because it's not something they normally see anywhere else, to see a flag be retired. And so I really love those flag ceremonies, the flag retirements, and just the campfire program as a whole. They're really fun.
Thank you for sharing that, Sam. Now, let's dive into some details about the 3-day and the 4-day sessions that are available at Camp Bartlett. Perhaps the two of you can split up and share with us a typical session or what to expect on the 3-day and the 4-day session.
Yeah, so like I mentioned with a little bit about the flag ceremonies, that on like during the mornings on a 3-day session, you'll come in Monday morning, we will have the check-in and camp set up. And then we will have lunch on Monday after you guys have set up camp. And we'll get into the meals in just a little bit here as well and how those are all work. And then right after lunch, we're going to get just right into the first session, the first rotation. And during the first rotation, you'll use the schedule that we gave you at check-in and go to whatever program area that you have you assigned for that. We'll have another rotation right afterwards, filling up your afternoon with fun and exciting experiences. And then we'll go into dinner. And then after dinner, we will go right into our flag ceremony, where we will welcome you to camp and do introductions of our staff and sing some songs, have a good time, give any announcements that we need to for the start of camp. And then we'll head up to our campfire bowl for our campfire program that we talked about. And then after the campfire program, we have group time. And group time will be every evening and throughout every session. And that is an opportunity for you as a group, whether it be, like I said, ward or state, however you guys are organized, to be able to spend some time and doing whatever that you had planned, whether it is a devotional, whether you go back to your campsites and do stuff, however you guys want to plan. Like I said, when you see group time on the schedule, that is your own time to be able to do whatever your guys' group wants to do. And then everything else, we have it scheduled out so that way you can get and the most of what you're coming up to camp for. But we also want you to be able to have that time as a group to be able to spend time together, be able to work together, and be able to do whatever you'd like. And then going into Tuesday, Tuesday is fun because it is just all full of rotations. We'll start the morning with breakfast and then flag ceremony again, and then just right into rotations. And we have a day full of rotations. And then after lunch, we have a rotation, and then we have our Waterfront Olympics. And our Waterfront Olympics can vary on the group sizes and what we kind of have going on, and also weather. That's one of the things that we have to worry about with all rotations being up in the mountains. But a lot of times for our Waterfront Olympics, there's just another opportunity to have some fun on the water and to be able to get another opportunity to get on the boats and play some games. And we'll have some things planned out for you guys as well. And then Wednesday morning, we will finish our session with our, of course, breakfast in the morning, flag ceremony, and then we do our John Coulter run, which is just one last fun, get your energy out before you get in the cars and before you drive home. And it is a relay race around the Grizzly Field and is just an opportunity to, like I said, one last opportunity to have some fun before taking down camp and getting in the cars to go home.
So, Sam, I understand the four-day session is similar to the three-day session. Is that right?
Yes, it is. It is very similar. It has the extra day, which allows for two extra rotations. One of those rotations is service for the camp, and it's a really great time to do some physical labor and really bring the group together as a team and help the camp and future participants as well. And the other rotation is your hiking rotation. That allows you to go on whatever hike you want. And if you finish early, if you go on a short hike, you can come back, play some field games. But it lets you have that time to go on the hike. During group time, you could also go on a short hike if you wanted to. It's not an exclusive time to go on the hike, but it is a good time.
Now, Sam, you have emphasized group bonding and building several times. Can you go into some detail about the unique opportunities at Bartlett that are available for groups to bond as a group?
Sure. We have several different activities and group bonding times here at camp. Tanner mentioned some of them during his camp schedule. And the first one that we have is our Waterfront Olympics. So kind of depending on the group size and all of that stuff, sometimes we do a relay race if people are interested in that. Other times it could just be some extra open time on the lake. And if the Waterfront Olympics don't go long, then that time will be there anyways. And that's a really good time to just be together with the whole camp and have fun on the lake. The other thing is the John Coulter run. And we do that again, right? Before you leave on Wednesday or Saturday morning. And it's a really great time to work together to do this relay race. And there are several challenges throughout this relay race. They're not usually very hard challenges. They're pretty simple challenges, but they really help you work together and function as a team.
Thank you for sharing those activities. Our participants are going to work up an appetite. Let's describe how the meals work at Camp Bartlett. Tanner, do you want to start us off?
Yeah, for sure. So with the meal options that we have at camp, really there's two options that you can do, whether it is to eat in the dining hall with us as a staff, as the food that we prepare, or to eat in your campsites and cooking and bringing all your own food. With groups, you can eat, like I said, at your own campsite. The biggest thing is just to really make sure that you have all the proper gear, you have all the proper cooler and space to store all your food for the time that you're going to be at camp, and also to store the food at night that no critters are going to get into anything. And the nice part about the dining hall, though, is you won't have to worry about any of that. You can come up to camp, go over to our lodge in our dining room, and be able to eat the meals that we've prepared. And you go in and eat. And we do ask that at least one meal per session, that we have a ward help us every meal, just wipe off the tables and sweep. It makes it go really quick, and it makes it go a lot faster for us as a staff as well. But other than that, that's all the help that we ask for. We cook the meals, we prep the meals, we clean up the meal. All you have to do is just come in and eat and enjoy it. And I know that camp food can be have that kind of stigma sometimes. The last few years have been absolutely great. I love the food that we prepare up there. I'm a bigger guy. You can tell that I love food, and I love to be able to say that I enjoy the meals at camp, and I do back them and I do trust them. And it really is a great opportunity to have those well-balanced meals throughout the day, to start the day, to keep you fueled throughout the day for lunch, and the same thing for dinner.
Let's be honest, Tanner, if a group is having the camp put together those meals, that's just one less thing the adults have to worry about.
It's true. That's one less thing you have to worry about. And really, that one less thing turns into a lot of things. Like I said, with buying the food, prepping the food, coming up with the food, and storing it, cooking it, all that stuff. I do love cooking at a campsite, but sometimes when it's 3 or 4 days and you have all your youth, it can be a lot. And I feel that, and I know that.
So Sam, let's turn the wheel and describe the opportunity for groups to bring their own food. What do they need to expect?
So your groups can bring their own food, and basically you should plan some easy camp-friendly meals that you can prepare relatively quickly, because we only have about a 1 hour window for you to cook the food, eat the food, and also clean up after yourself. Your food should be in a safe container so that animals such as squirrels or sometimes larger animals like the deer or even our moose might get into it. So you want to make sure that it's in a sturdy container or you can put it back in your car. If people decide to bring snacks or something, they should also keep those in their car or just leave them at home so you don't have to worry about them. We don't want the animals getting into your food and making a mess of things and getting dependent on humans for food.
That is some good advice. Now, Sam, if a group is bringing up their own food, they're going to need to plan on keeping it cool for the time that they're there at camp. How do you suggest they go about keeping their food cold?
So we definitely recommend having coolers with lots of ice in it to keep it cool throughout the week. If you find that your ice gets low, you can always leave to Montpelier and get a bag of ice and come back. And that way you can keep it cold. If you miss something that you need for food, you can also run to Montpelier really quick to get that missed item.
So there's a grocery store in town that they could pick up those missed items?
There is, yes.
Perfect. Now, Tanner, back to the dining hall. If a group is having the staff prepare their meals, some of our participants have allergies. How do they go about communicating that to the camp so the camp is prepared to accommodate those?
Yeah, so right before camp, the leaders of each group should be getting an email that talks about allergies and special dietary needs. And there is a website that the link will be in that email. And then click on that, it'll fill out a form. And a lot of times with bigger groups like steaks, you can send it out to parents that you know, or just send it out to every ward and have the parents fill it out, because of course they know their kids best, and have that link filled out. It sends me a form that will tell me what I need to prepare for. And so that way we can make sure that we have everything that we need for these special dietary needs. Biggest thing with that is make sure that you do fill it out a week or two in advance. So that way I have enough time to plan and prepare for these special dietary needs.
Thank you. Now, we've covered everything about food. Tanner, can you think of any items that a group needs to make sure that they have packed before they head to camp?
Yeah, so in the mountains, you always have to worry about a few different things. You want to make sure that you have good shoes, good hiking boots. You're going to be walking a lot. Like we said a couple times, camp is big. We have a big area. Especially if you're going from one program area to the other, it could be on the other side of camp. So make sure you have good footwear, and make sure that during the day you're putting on sunscreen. Make sure you bring that with you. Make sure you bring bug spray. We'll also have those items in our trading post, but not everything that we that you'll need will be in our trading post. So please make sure that you bring like warm layers for the nighttime, because like I said, we are in the mountains. It can get really cold at night. The average at Camp Bartlett during the summer is mid 50s at night, and then it can get up to mid 80s during the day. So sometimes that's a big temperature difference, but also be prepared for possibly rain. Really just make sure that you have warm layers at night, and you can bring a rain jacket and bring tarps for all your different gear. Really just make sure to be prepared for summer weather in the mountains. It's going to be cold at night, it's going to be warm during the day, and there's always the chance of rain.
Be prepared. That's the motto of the scouts. Now, Tanner, you had emphasized staying hydrated. Is there going to be a place for groups to fill up a water jug or water bottle as they go from activity station throughout the day?
Yeah, for sure. So every single campsite has a water spigot nearby that has potable water. And potable water just means that you can drink it, you can use it for cooking, it is good to use. We are lucky enough to have a wonderful mountain spring that we have treated going into our tank, and it is great water. And I know that Sam and I both love when we're up at camp being able to drink that spring water. And so every single campsite will have a spigot nearby. There's also the lodge that they can come and get water anytime.
You know, Sam, Tanner has spent a couple minutes describing what to ensure groups do bring. Are there any items that groups should consider leaving things at home?
Absolutely. Definitely for the youth, specifically electronics, we want them to unplug from those a little bit and just be present in the moment. Enjoy the outdoors. They're really great if you look away from the screen for a few minutes. It's a really fun time to be out there and enjoy yourself. You might also want to avoid some extra snacks that might attract wildlife. Again, we know people like their snacks. I like my snacks. But if you do bring snacks, please put them in your car for the night or have a plan in place to keep the wildlife from getting to them. But just try and avoid too many snacks. We don't want our wildlife getting into your food and ruining your stay and becoming dependent.
And I like how you talked about unplugging. Camp Bartlett has one of the most beautiful vistas as far as stars at night. So on a clear night, those kids can see just billions of stars. So
it's beautiful.
If they're away from those screens, they can have those opportunities.
Yeah, and along with that, I forgot from earlier, every week we usually do an astronomy night where we can go out and stay up a little bit later and look at the stars through some of our telescopes. And it's a really great time to see some of the constellations out there, assuming the night is clear, and just enjoy nature and some views that you don't normally see in the city.
I'm glad you added that. Thank you, Sam. Now, before we wrap up today's podcast episode, I want our listeners to get to know you two a little bit more before they arrive at camp. Tanner, what led you to start working at Camp Bartlett so many years ago?
I love being asked this question because I, like I said earlier, absolutely love Camp Bartlett. I love the scouting program. I've been in scouts majority of my life, ever since I was a Cub Scout. But that doesn't necessarily mean that you have to be in scouting beforehand to be on a camp staff. I have so many camp staff members, including Sam's fiance, that had never been in scouts before until working at camp, and to be able to see the amazing program, the opportunities that scouting brings. I was a 13-year-old going to my week-long scout camp at Camp Bartlett, and I had absolutely just an amazing time, so much fun. That's really where I fell in love with camp. I'd been to other scout camps before that were fun, but Camp Bartlett was just, there's something special about it. And as we were leaving that week, my dad was with me, and I said, these camp staff members, they look like they have so much fun. This looks like such just an awesome way to spend my summer. How much does it cost to work at camp staff? Because I knew it cost money to go to scout camp and so on. And he kind of looked at me and said, Tanner, they pay you to work at camp. Like, it's a job. I said, oh my gosh, that's even better. That is great. I know what I'm doing next summer. And that very next summer, I was a counselor in training where I had the volunteer time to work at camp. And then the next summer, I worked the entire summer and really, out of the last, I think, 11 years, I've worked 8 of the summers, and I've just absolutely loved it. I couldn't have imagined not doing it now, and all the experiences and all the people that I've been able to meet. It really has been one of the best things, and being able to bring my family now up to the camp and to grow as my family grows and being able to have my wife and daughter up there with me. It really is the best. And I absolutely love it.
We have loved having you and your family, Tanner. Thank you. So, Sam, tell us, what keeps you coming back year after year after year at Camp Bartlett?
Well, I just really love the outdoors and the fun I get to have while at camp with other staff and with the campers. I love providing this experience where they can learn and grow. My story was kind of similar to Chug, to Tanner's story. We call him Chug sometimes. That's his last name. But my story is kind of similar. Went to camp as a youth when I was like 12. I had a blast, even though it snowed 3 days of the week. It was really fun. Came back 2 summers later for the High Adventure program, which is where I learned that one of my friend's brothers was actually working at camp, and I, before that, had never crossed my mind. So I decided to come up the next year and work at camp that year. But yeah, camp is a really special place. It's a place where you can go, you can learn and do lots of fun, new, hard things. And people there are always so encouraging and helpful. It's really a great place to go if you want to try new things.
Yes, it is. And it's fun to watch you two work together. You guys have a lot of fun with your staff members.
Now, that's Tanner, the best part before about we wrap.
That's right. Before we wrap up, can you describe the open house that's coming up later this spring for leaders to come and visit camp?
Yeah, so on May 17th, we will be having a open house at Camp Bartlett. It's an opportunity for any and all leaders to come up and see camp before everything is set up, kind of a sneak peek into camp, and to be able to see the beautiful wildflowers as they're popping out of the spring weather, and the chance for you to be able to walk around camp and see the campsite and kind of get a better idea of when you're planning for camp and what your campsite may look like as you make sure you get the proper gear and so on for your camps and for your groups. And like I said, when it comes to reservations for reserving the areas for group time, like I mentioned earlier, at the open house is when you'll be able to reserve on those areas, whether it be our small pavilion or either of our amphitheater fire bowls. And it will be from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. on, like I said, May 17th.
And do groups need to let you know beforehand that they'll be coming? Or can they just show up?
They can just show up. We'll be there either way. We will be there in anticipation for you. We absolutely love to see you up there. We're happy to answer any questions beforehand or afterwards after you've looked around for a little while. We'll be set up in the lodge with maps and schedules in hand. So that way, as you're walking through camp, you can have those to reference and see what a little bit better of what you're going to experience once you're up here with all your youth.
Well, thank you for sharing those details. Tanner and Sam, thank you so much for sharing your passion for Camp Bartlett. It's clear that this camp is all about adventure, friendship, and building incredible memories.
Absolutely.
If you want to register for Camp Bartlett or learn more, visit utahscouts.org/Bartlett. And if you've enjoyed this episode, don't forget to subscribe to Miles of Impact for more exciting camp stories. Until next time, keep exploring, keep serving, and keep making an impact. We'll see you at camp.
Thanks for joining us on this episode of Miles of Impact. Together, we're building a legacy of service, adventure, and leadership that reaches every corner of our community. Want to learn more about how scouting makes a difference? Visit us online at utahscouts.org and be part of the journey. And don't forget to share this podcast with your friends, family, and fellow scouters, because every mile we travel together. Until next time, keep making an impact and keep the adventure alive.